CNIB's Canadian National Institute for the Blind. Throughout Europe, in the UK, the Royal National Institute for the Blind, all of the Scandinavian countries in Sweden, Denmark, and I could go on and on. We're also in Australia, New Zealand, Korea, Japan, India. So we're throughout the world. We're also made up of friends who are for-profit companies like Humanware and Microsoft that produce products or services that contribute to the DAISY movement. So I think we can go to the next slide. So DAISY is an acronym. It stands for Digital Accessible Information System. And it's primarily a standard that was developed to replace the audio cassette. Originally, that's what its target was designed to do. And we've been wildly successful in that activity. Essentially, all the organizations throughout the world have transitioned to the DAISY standard, or they're in the process of transitioning to the DAISY standard. And delivers audio. We also realized as we evolved the standard that we could include text in the standard as well, and we could synchronize text and audio in the standard. So we developed the technology as a standard that could be used for audio, for text, or for multimedia. And we developed it so that publishers could use the standard as well. And so in the International Digital Publishing Forum, that's the ebook people, the standard that is being promoted wildly right now, it's just becoming very, very popular, is EPUB. And DAISY is actually included inside the EPUB standard. So the DAISY navigation model and the way of representing the text content, DAISY XML, is included in the EPUB standard. So can we go to the next slide? Okay, so one of the things that has happened in the United States is that the DAISY XML has been identified as the National Instructional Materials Accessibility Standard. That it's called NIMAS, and it points to the DAISY XML that's inside the DAISY standard. And with the reauthorization of IDEA, publishers are required to provide files for textbooks in the K-12 arena using the DAISY XML. And this has driven the importance of the DAISY XML sky high within the publishing field. So we're very excited about that. Microsoft has partnered with, they've been a member of the DAISY Consortium for many years as a friend, and have been always supportive of what we're doing. But most recently, about almost a year ago, we released version 1 of the add-in for Microsoft Word XP, Word 2003, and Word 2007. This add-in, which is free and open source, anybody who can install it, will add a menu item to save as DAISY in Microsoft Word. And we are now releasing the beta of version 2. And this is very exciting because it will allow people to create full text and full audio synchronized and provide the navigation, a fully conforming DAISY talking book, using this add-in. It includes the light version of something called DAISY Pipeline, which is a production tool that's available through DAISY, and it's that also is very powerful. But we've used a light version of the DAISY pipeline to produce the generate the audio. So what happens is the text gets pushed to the speech synthesizer that's installed on the Windows machine, and it generates the MP3 files that are synchronized, and it's now available on the DAISY website, and the official release on SourceForge is scheduled to happen tomorrow. So Brenda, next slide. Unless we have some questions, Brenda, the next slide. Sure, Brenda, why don't you go to the DAISY website, and as those pages come up, I'll kind of direct you to points of interest.
I just wanted to let you know that we're going to go into the website, so you're going to see what it looks like, and then we'll be coming back to the PowerPoint presentation, so I'll reload it, but I thought it was important that you would all be able to see and for us to walk through where you can find and save this particular add-in.
I don't see that page up there. Okay. So as that page comes up, so the place where we're going to be going to is www.daisy.org, and that's the first page. And it's a very comprehensive website. It contains a lot of information. There's projects that we have running. There are is a standards area. There's About Us, joining the DAISY Consortium. Here comes that page, and I hope. Right. And so now we have the DAISY.org page up there. And so it's an extremely comprehensive site. And you, if you've not been there before, you might want to take some time to look at some of the items. Also on the front page, there's links to the DAISY newsletter. And to stay abreast of what's going on in the world of DAISY, I would highly recommend that everybody sign up to the DAISY Planet, as we call it. And it comes out monthly, normally towards the end of the month. So, Brenda, if you click on the projects area there, this page shows many of the projects that we have operating right now. We have authoring tools that we're producing. Obi is an audio authoring tool. We have a Me, which is an open source playback system, software based for Windows, the DAISY pipeline, and many of the projects that we have running right now. So one of those is Save as DAISY from Microsoft, and that's what we're focused on today. So Brenda, if you could click on that. So here we have the project page for the Microsoft Save as DAISY. Now, the actual place where all the software code open source is living is out on SourceForge. And SourceForge can be really, really messy for screen reader users, and it's really intended for developers. So what we've done here is provided a real simple way of getting at the information from SourceForge, all the critical stuff that you'd need. There's a download for the software. Now, right now, that's linking to a local copy. But tomorrow morning, the developers of the software, which is a company in India called Sonata, will be uploading that software to the SourceForge site and will be linking to the same software that's available this evening. Tomorrow we'll change the links to the to the SourceForge site. So don't bookmark those links that are there right now. You can bookmark the link to daisy.org/project/saveasdaisymicrosoft with dashes in between. And that's permanent, but the links to the downloads are not. We have a link to, in this sidebar menu, to other add-ins. We have from Design Science an add-in for MathML that will assist people in producing DAISY-conforming MathML, which is really exciting. And we have a forums area, which is where I'd like to direct people to for questions and answers. So, Brenda, can we go to the forums area? So, great. So this must be encoded in British English because it just changed my speech synthesizer the way it was reading it to me. So I've posted one item about the submenu items here just to alert people that we know that the submenus that are in the dialog boxes, which are brand new, which describe all the different things you can do, is unclear. So you can, when you select Save as DAISY in the Microsoft in Microsoft Word, you're presented with a submenu, and you can save as a XML, the DAISY XML. That's the first item. You could have a number of Microsoft Word documents and save them as DAISY XML. So, for example, if you had a whole book, Chapter 1, and another file, Chapter 2, and another file, Chapter 3, and so on, you could have all of those concatenated into one single book. Then there is the other options, and it's very unclear. It says DT book production is from a single file, and then DT book from multiple files. And what this is really the full text, full audio generation, which is new in release 2. And so before we get to the official release, we'll make sure we fix that in the menu, submenu items. Microsoft has funded the Sonata, a software developer in India, to write this translator for them. And they have asked DAISY to help in the specifications for what it should do. And we've also included the software, open source software from DAISY, for the DAISY pipeline for the manipulation of those XML files and for the generation of the MP3. So I think we can go back to our slides at this point, but that forum is the place you want to go for more information and ask questions. And I'll be watching that forum on a daily basis and making sure that we answer questions, and if we see any bugs reported, we'll get them over to Sonata for fixing before the official release. Okay? Do we have any questions from people out there? Okay, so Brenda is in the process of reloading the slides from where we left off. So a question about the Kindle. I bought my wife a Kindle for Christmas. this past year. Actually, the kids helped me chip in for the product, and my wife really likes it. Of course, she doesn't have a disability. The Kindle uses a technology called e-ink for the screen, and it presents the information not with a backlit system, but with this e-ink where the state of the screen is flashed and the text is essentially painted on there, and it looks really good, about as close to a printed page as people have been able to come to. The Sony e-reader uses e-ink as well. One of the drawbacks to the Kindle and to e-ink at this point is that it only does grayscale, so you can't do pictures of it. And Amazon has made it very easy for people to use their network. It's a wireless network built into the Kindle to buy books and download them very quickly and easily. It's just extremely easy, and that's very cool. Now, we know that the Amazon has announced the development and soon to be released version 2 of the Kindle that's going to built in text to speech. And I've met with the people from Amazon in the Kindle group in Seattle. And we talked about the importance of making this product accessible, and I'm hoping that they can get the menus and talking so that people with disabilities can use this. Right now, I would expect that some people with disabilities could use the Kindle with those capabilities right now, but I think that it's going to be a while before that's accessible. I really hope they do a good job on it. Fundamentally, the Kindle is using internally the EPUB format. I don't think they've officially adopted it. Most of the books that they've produced are from scans that they've had themselves, but more and more of the publishers are delivering content in EPUB, so I'm fairly confident that the Kindle will be using EPUB content in the not-too-distant future. And they say that you can play Mobi Pocket version of EPUB on the Kindle. They really made a big mistake by not making it accessible to people who are blind and print disabled in this release, and I think what they would have done is save themselves a whole lot of grief from the Authors Guild, who are complaining about this being a new format. If the Authors Guild would have seen that, there's more people buying books than before because of the accessibility of this product, then maybe there wouldn't have been such a criticism of.
Art, if you would like to have a comment, please go ahead. Art, I was just wondering if you had something to say. You were raising your hand. So if you do, please comment.
Okay, so going back to the Microsoft add-in, one of the key features of DAISY is that DAISY represents the information semantically, meaning we understand the meaning of what things are in a book or in a publication, not just what it looks like. So there's elements in the DAISY XML that identify things like headings, page locations, and page numbers. And those are major navigation spots. And the DAISY Navigation Center identifies those places in a book and allows you to jump quickly and easily directly to those locations in the book. So how does that work from Microsoft Word? What you need to do is use styles correctly in Microsoft Word. So you if you have a heading one style, that will show up in a DAISY book as a level heading one. The page numbers will be automatically added based on the pagination from Microsoft Word. But you can also use, if you instead of automatic pagination, if you wanted to use custom pages, you could do that as well. So for example, if an organization like a library serving people who are blind and print disabled was scanning in a book and using Microsoft Word as their editing tool, wherever the real page break was in the book, they could put in a custom style for that page break and put in that page number. And the headings and the page numbers from that book would be identical to what's in the book. So whether you're creating documents originally from Microsoft Word, or if you're an organization is using Microsoft Word for their editing tool to produce DAISY content, both systems would work. Paragraphs are identified automatically, but it's always good to identify your paragraph. List items, sidebars, all of the elements that are in the DAISY specification are identified. Footnote references and footnotes are automatically done. So essentially, all the elements from the DAISY specification are mapped from styles in Microsoft Word into the DAISY format. If you had a document in Word where you didn't use any styles at all, it would ask you if the first item in the document is a heading, and almost everything else would be converted out as a paragraph, because it would just be guessing at what those elements are. There's also a feature for you to check your document, which provides some kind of guidance to people, and you know, it'll see that, oh, you don't seem to have any headings in this document. Are you making a mistake? So those kinds of things are provided within this add-in as well. Questions?
I'm going back to Josie's question. Is the idea to then burn it as a disk to use as a DAISY player, or is there another way to listen directly from the computer?
Good question. So if a person is producing this themselves for their own use, they would have a couple different options. If you have a software player on your computer, you could just pull up that DAISY reader and read it like you would read a book that you got from some other organization. And I do that. I also will take the book and move it over to a hardware player like the Humanware Stream. And we can talk about a little later what that exact process is. And then the other option is to burn a CD if you've got a DAISY player that accepts only CDs. And you could then put that CD into your player, and it would play. So that's how it's intended to be used. Of course, companies and organizations that are producing the materials, say for example, a university is using this function to create accessible content for their students with disabilities. They scan and edit and use Microsoft Word as their editing tool. They could produce full text, full audio, DAISY, put it out on their server and make it available to students who need that particular document. Of course, they need to be following all of the proper rules surrounding the use of this for students with disabilities following copyright laws. Okay. Any other questions? Okay, so this slide actually, we anticipated your question here. So what you do is use your styles correctly in Microsoft Word, go over to the Save as Daisy function. There's some configurations that you might want to look at, whether you want custom or automatic page numbering. You want to pick your MP3 bit rate. 32 kilobit is the smallest we recommend. 64 provides a slightly better sound quality, but it makes the book twice as large. So you end up identifying a folder you want to put the book in, and you generate the full text, full audio version of the book. And this will take some time, generating speech. Depending upon the size of the document, it might take anywhere from 5 to 10 minutes for a 20-30 page document, or it might take, you know, a really long time for 100 or 200 or even larger document. What you then need to do, if you're going to use it on a software player, you can just point to that folder and open the book. But with a hardware player, what you want to do is then connect your Stream, your Classmate, or your other hardware solid-state Daisy player to to the device, turn it on, and then go to the folder where the output of the book is, and just use copy, the Windows copy command, Alt-C, and you take that whole folder, and you go then to the, I use Windows Explorer, so I do Windows E, and that brings up the, I down arrow to where my Stream is connected, and then I tab over to $VRDTB, open that folder, and then I paste. And it copies that whole folder over to the $VRDTB folder. And that's the same folder whether it's on the Classmate or on the Stream. And once that's copied, you can disconnect your player, restart it, and that book will be in your bookshelf. If you were going to play it on a CD player, you would have to use CD-ROM burning software. I use Nero, and burn that to a CD, and then you could use it on the CD player. Any questions? So Brenda just asked me privately, what speech synthesizer does it use? It will use the default SAPI TTS engine that's on your Windows machine. And so whatever your default is, that will be used. And what I've done is I've licensed a third-party SAPI engine, one that it doesn't come by default with Windows. There's a number of these that are available today, and I just select that as my default synthesizer, and that's the voice that is used. But that's a good question, and but it'll use the default one for your system. Some of the speech engines out there are really, really good TTS engines. And so organizations that are producing a lot of material for students or their clients or customers might want to decide to get a really high quality text-to-speech engine for the generation of this content. And we find that the text-to-speech quality is quite good compared to the text-to-speech that's on many of the small devices and even the speech engines that are on PCs. So you can really get pretty good quality speech out of this this way of producing the content. Any other questions?
Yes, Norman, I can tell you how to get the new release. I will email you that tomorrow or tonight. Please just insert your, I have your email, so I will send that to you. Another question from Josie is where, and please bear with my reading, would it ever be desirable or is it possible to use human narration with these files, or is it strictly to be used with synthetic speech?
Let me start by telling Norm that if you go to the DAISY Projects area and then click on Save as DAISY Microsoft, there's a link to download this version right now, and you can get version 2.0 beta. And you can install it right over other versions, previous versions of it. And also, now there's a feature where you can check for updates, and it'll automatically go to SourceForge and look for updates. Josie, that is a terrific question. And we have within the DAISY Consortium a project called TOBI. Well, let me step back. There's a software, it's in Candidate Release 3 called OBI. And what it is, it's a DAISY recording tool. It's open source. It's fully accessible to people with disabilities. And it's for recording DAISY books. It allows you to put in the headings and page numbers. But it doesn't do text. It doesn't support text. The follow-on project of what we're doing is called TOBI, which is just the text added to OBI. And what one of the things we envision is that an organization could first generate an entire book with text-to-speech, and then go in, pull it into TOBI, and replace passages that were generated by text-to-speech with human narration. So portions of books, might be fine for text-to-speech. Certainly the index, bibliography, the front matter is all very difficult to find people to go in there and read that. I'm thinking of Recording for the Blind and Dyslexic, trying to get people to read the index is like pulling teeth. But the other passages where human narration is very so much better than text-to-speech, for example, poetry or short stories, that's one function that we see TOBI fulfilling. And we do envision that product long-term becoming extremely important in taking, producing multimedia content, adding descriptions to images and things like that as well. Right now, with this add-in, you could have a DAISY producer's note as a style and provide a full description of the image in text, and then it would be converted to text-to-speech. But we do see that a lot of people will want to have human narration, and both OBI and TOBI are targeted toward that. So any other questions? Yeah, Shakespeare would be, much better in with human narration and dramatization than TTS. One of the concepts that I thought I'd kick out here is that there's a question of quantity of material and quality of material, and this add-in from Microsoft really enables huge quantities of information to be made fully accessible to people with disabilities. The TTS quality is going to be a question, and I know that a lot of people, especially people who are unfamiliar with listening to TTS, will be, a little disappointed. Those of us who have a long history of listening to TTS have have come to tolerate it, and actually, you know, I listen to it so fast sometimes that I don't even realize whether it's a human or a machine talking any longer. But this really does bring a whole lot of documents into scope for being made available. I did a presentation to the Burton Group, which is corporate America, and I was talking about, you know, for example, insurance policies. Nobody has ever given me an insurance policy that I could read, you know, and I know I've signed on the dotted line, the 25-page document. I was encouraging corporations that were producing materials for people to if they were using Microsoft Word, to use this and make information available to their customers. And this kind of thing is now really feasible with the help of Microsoft and the work that Sonata's done in doing this. I've heard that 70% of all documents are created using Microsoft Word. And if we could get 70% of the information that's out there to be made available to us, that'd be a huge leap forward. So I really have to take my hat off to Microsoft for taking this initiative and taking this leadership role. It's open source. Anybody could grab this same source code, modify it, and use it to make their own word processor accessible. And there are efforts to make OpenOffice accessible as well. There's a project in France that has gotten great publicity that does the same kind of translation of OpenOffice documents into the DAISY XML. And we have seen that Adobe's authoring tool called InDesign, which is a high-end system, is got a save as DAISY function that it works through EPUB, but it does save the DAISY XML. What we'd like to see is the save as DAISY function in every single authoring tool. Wherever there's the option to print or go to PDF, we'd like to see the option to go to DAISY, because it provides such a more powerful reading experience that's fully accessible than just reading a PDF document or even just reading a Word document, because Word was designed as a word processor, not as a reading system, where DAISY was designed as a reading system and is much more powerful used with software players or hardware players. Any other questions?
Allison, I was not able to hear you with that. Can you make sure that your mic volume is turned up, and I'll turn the mic back to you. There's one more question here from Josie that says, does this process work with the Vista operating system? And I'm going to pass that question back to George, and then we're going to have just a few closing comments.
Yeah, it works with XP and Vista. And this will integrate with Office with Word XP 2003 and 2007. Oh, and tomorrow with the release, which is different than the one that's on the website right this minute. Tomorrow there's going to be an Express installer, which all the beta testers for the last year have been crying for. And because there's a lot of components that are used here, there's the Java, which needs to be installed. There's a couple other little pieces. And if you have Word XP or Word 2003, there's a compatibility pack. It's a free download, and it allows you to read Word 2007 documents and save as Word 2007, because with 2007 it uses a different file format. Instead of a binary file format as it used in the past, it uses an open international standard XML standard called OOXML, Open Office XML, that is an ISO standard, and so all versions of Word now can write that standard. excuse me, and the add-in works off of OOXML, so you save in Word XP in 2003. You have this compatibility pack, and you save it as a DOX file before it gets processed through the translator. Marissa DeMeglio, one of our developers, uses a Mac with Parallels running, and she just did a presentation at the O'Reilly Tools of Change conference using the Microsoft Word add-in and the DAISY pipeline. She was creating EPUB documents there, and I believe it all went just fine. So I think you're in good shape there.
I wanted to thank George for taking the time out tonight to talk to us about this wonderful add-in that we're going to be able to use within the Microsoft Word program. This is a great opportunity for us to create accessible text here in the future. And there was a question from someone up above on whether we can walk through this process tonight. And what I'm going to do is create a tutorial that I will post to the HumanWare website on how to load up the program and then to use the software program, so you'll be able to see and hear that audio information. I want to wait until we have the Express load in because I think it'll be a lot easier for me to do that presentation at that time. There's one more question from Manny here, is what is the difference between DAISY and AIMS? And I'm going to have George answer that really quickly, and then we're going to sign off here because I know a lot of people need to go and they have an hour limit.
Okay, so NIMAS, N-I-M-A-S, points to the DAISY XML, which is the textual representation for content of a book. And it only points to the XML. But in a conforming DAISY publication, there are other things. There is the navigation center. There are normally audio files. And there are synchronization files that synchronize the audio with the text. All of those have to be present to have a fully conforming DAISY document. What the idea was with NIMAS was to ask the publishers, or require the publishers, to provide the files in the DAISY XML that would make it easy for Bookshare and RFB&D or others to make accessible versions of information from those files. And so Duxbury importing those files, or Braille 2000 to produce Braille. The DAISY pipeline can produce a variety of outputs, the full DAISY pipeline from the DAISY XML, and can do the DAISY pipeline has got a module to do large print. It's very primitive right now. The first release of that large print has been put in. But the whole idea was that the publishers have the information, and to help the organizations that produce accessible content, they needed that DAISY XML. And then from that, you can generate all kinds of accessible documents. So the translator from Microsoft Word produces the DAISY XML, and then it internally hands it off to the DAISY pipeline to produce the rest of the files, the navigation center, the audio files, and the synchronization files that are needed to make a fully conforming document so that it plays just like magic on the HumanWare stream, or on the Classmate, or on another conforming DAISY reading system. Thank you.
Thank you, George, once again for presenting tonight. I wanted to let everyone know that I will be posting this presentation to the HumanWare website once I've finished collaborating that. And If you have any other comments or questions, please send me an email at brenda.mcbride@humanware.com, and I will post it here in the chat. But I really appreciate George taking the time out tonight to explain this, and I look forward to future presentations. If we have an opportunity to do a live presentation, I will let everyone else know. So please stay tuned to the presentations that we are offering. On Tuesday next week, I'm doing a presentation just on the basics of the Classmate, if anyone is interested in attending that. We also, in the following week, on the Friday, actually, I will have a presentation with Stephanie Turner with the Recording for Blind and Dyslexic, so you can find out about their services and what's coming down the pipeline for them as they move forward. So anyway, hope everyone had a wonderful night. Thank you for joining us, and I will stay around for just a few minutes if anyone else has any questions, but otherwise I wish everyone a wonderful good night.
Thank you, George. Thank you, Brenda.
Thanks, Norm. My email address is kercher@montana.com. That's kercher@montana.com. And look forward to talking to you all on email or the next conference or some other place to meet. Thanks, Brenda, for doing this. It was terrific.